Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and last week we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the Lord really promised that if we really seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, then he will provide those things that we need. Now, I didn't say that we'll have all that we want. We talked about this last week. You don't need everything you want, and really you don't want everything you need. I remember, I think I told you this a long time ago, as a little boy, every Friday night I got a whipping. I didn't need to have a whipping, but I needed it. I mean, you know, I didn't want it, but I still got it. I got castor oil and a whipping every Friday night. Hey, I didn't turn out that bad, did I? That was really nice. You see, God doesn't give us everything we want. He really doesn't. And if you don't have it, it's because God knows at this point in your life you don't need it. Or you can't handle it, one of the two. So you got to be very careful. It's our job to serve the Lord, and it's his job to supply our needs. And when we really do live by faith, the Lord takes care of us. So now we come to the last chapter in the Sermon on the Mount. And folks, this chapter is packed with doctrine. There is so much meat in this chapter 7. Jesus talks about judging. He talks about asking and receiving. He talks about the golden rule. He talks about the way to eternal life. He talks about false prophets. And he talks about wise and foolish builders. So he has a lot to say about doctrine in this passage of Scripture. So you ready? Let's jump in. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Father, we're grateful for the Word of God. We just pray that you would sink it into our hearts, that we would understand, that the Holy Spirit would minister very specifically today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let me start with a question. Is it ever, now these are rhetorical questions, okay? I know y'all didn't study rhetoricals, but it's a rhetorical question. Is it ever right to pass judgment on the actions of others? Is it ever right to do that? Well, you might think that Jesus would have said, no, it's not right. But he didn't. He said, it depends. It really depends. There are times when we can judge and times when we can't judge. All right? And these verses that we just read here, the Lord gives us something very important to say about the matter of judging one another. And whether we like to admit it, every one of us is guilty at some point in your life of judging someone else, of looking and doing other things. So let's look at what Jesus really said about this matter. There are occasions in the Bible where Christians are to exercise judgment over others. Now, as I said, we had a problem with the Scripture. So I'm going to ask you just to write the Scriptures, and then you can look them up. But I'll just kind of give you the bird's eye, the Engel version of it, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 13. The Apostle Paul judges a man guilty of fornication with his father's wife, and he condemns the man. He condemns his actions and then calls on the church to do the same thing. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, the Apostle John says that believers are commanded to judge religions and statements of preachers and teachers to see if they line up with the Word of God. I know I've said this and I'll say it again, and every time it comes up I'm going to say it. If you ever hear me say something that contradicts the Word of God, I expect you to stand up and take notice. Say something about it. Because that's not why I'm here. I'm here to preach and teach the Word of God. But there are times when that happens. We're to judge religions and statements of preachers and teachers when they don't line up with the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, in the verse following, in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 7, says we are to judge. Now, this is going to be harsh, all right? So we are to judge some people as dogs and swine, as being unworthy of the treasures of the Word of God. Wow! That's from the lips of the Lord Jesus. That's pretty heavy duty, and you know what? We're going to really deal with that next week. Okay. Matthew, and later on in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20, we're to examine the fruits of others and base our fellowship with that person on what we see in their life. So here are the verses I'd ask you to go home and really look up. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 13, 1 John 4, 1 to 6, Matthew 7, verse 6, Matthew 7, verses 15 and 20. And then in Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus says there are times when the church, that's us, when the church must exercise discipline against a wayward member. It requires judging their actions according to the Word of God. So if there really are times to judge one another, then what's Jesus talking about here? Because he says, judge not, that you be not judged. That word judge means to express a strong disapproval or harsh criticism. He's talking about criticizing, condemning, fault-finding, picky attitude. Know anybody like that? It's a mean, critical spirit, and it sees only the bad in other people. The idea is that the judge presumes to know the condition of someone else's heart. And you got to be very careful there. He sets himself up as a judge and a jury, and he's the one that proclaims the innocence or the guilt of a particular person. And this is the attitude that Jesus is condemning here. He's saying you can't do that. The person who sets himself up as a judge of others one day will face his own judgment. The critic forgets that he also is going to face God. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in this body, according to whether they were done, whether good or bad. You see, one day, God's going to use the same yardstick on the judge that he used on his critic. That's a scary thought, folks. Next time we think about judging another person, remember what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked, because whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And by the way, everybody or every person that we watch and we criticize, realize there's somebody out there watching and criticizing us. It's around full circle. We have no right to harshly criticize others. We just don't know their hearts, folks. You remember when the Lord Jesus was there and a group came with the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery? And what did Jesus say? He who was without sin cast the first stone. And what happened? They all dropped the stones and they all walked away. You just don't know someone's heart. So here are a few reasons why we should not criticize. Number one, because we don't know all the facts. Read about an owner of a manufacturing company who one day wanted to make a surprise visit to his company. And when he got there, he's walking through the warehouse. He noticed this young man with his hands in his pocket leaning up against the wall. So he walked over and he said, how much money do you get paid a week? And the boy said, $300. So the owner whipped out his wallet, gave him three $100 bills. He said, here's a week's pay. Get out of here and don't ever come back. So without a word, the boy took the money, put it in his pocket, and he left. The warehouse manager was standing by kind of puzzled when the boss walked over to him and said, tell me, how long has that guy been working for us? And the manager said, well, he doesn't work here. He's just delivering packages. Don't criticize because you don't know all the facts. All right? Number two, don't criticize because we all fail God and we all sin. In 1 John chapter 1, remember, the apostle says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. We all fail the Lord. Here's the third one. Don't criticize because you don't know the content of the person's heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not see as man sees, for the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord knows what's going on in your heart. And here's number four. Don't criticize because when you do, you're attempting to assume the authority of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 4, Paul says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or he falls. Then look at verse 3 in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? And this is where Jesus really gets to the whole issue. When we judge other people, we're looking at a warped view. We really are. Jesus uses this image of a man with a log sticking out of his eye trying to help somebody with a splinter in his eye. When I look at your life and I see your faults, I'm blind to the faults in my own life. If my heart was as pure and holy as I would like it to be, I wouldn't be focused on criticizing other people. I wouldn't be focused on condemning you. I'd instead love you. I would pray for you. I would try to help you every way that I can. I wouldn't be in the business of tearing you down. I'd be in the business of building you up, helping you. The problem with judging others is sometimes we're guilty of the same or even worse sins in our own lives. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For when you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the very same things. See, none of us are anything to brag about, are we? We're all sinners saved by grace. Or as I like to believe, that we are saved sinners. You know what I mean by that? God saved us. He's taken us to heaven. But we're walking around in this body. I mean, as good looking as this body is, it's, what was that laughter about? We sin. And that's the whole idea of coming before the Lord and getting cleansed on a daily basis, sometimes more than once during the day, to ask God to wash away that sin, those things that have come into our lives. While we may look at the way some people dress or some people act, the outward sins in their lives, we're often blind to the prejudices and the hypocritical spirit and the other things that are hidden in our own hearts. And here's a truth that's hard to follow, or swallow rather. The sin of the critic is greater than the sin of the person being judged. We reveal a heart that lacks love for our neighbor. Remember when they asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment? He said, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind, your soul and your being. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Folks, that ought to make us stop and think before we tear somebody else down. Just because they don't live up to our standards. I read a poem. It says, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us, that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Let me say that again. There's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Amen. Preach on, brother. Thank you. Then Jesus gives his assessment of those who do criticize in verse 5, in Matthew 7, verse 5. Hypocrite, he said, First, remove the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. That's some pretty strong language there, folks. He's calling those who judge hypocrites, pretending to be somebody you're not, somebody who wears a mask, a masquerade. You're not who you say you are. He says, when we do this, we're acting holier than we really are. And then he offers us some valuable counsel to those who would fall into that trap, who would trip and fall and begin to criticize. He says, first, clean up your own life. Then you'll be in a better position to help other people. Clean up what you got going in your own life. You see, when our heart is clean, we're told we'll be able to see clearly, right? Isn't that what it says in verse 5? We'll be able to see clearly. Well, what do we see? Well, we'll see our own heart more clearly, that's for sure. We'll see that we're sinners who are prone to fail. We'll see our brothers and sisters more clearly. We'll see they need love, and they need compassion, and they need help. When our own hearts have been fixed, when our own vision has been cleared up, we'll be able to reach out to fallen brothers and sisters. We'll be able to reach out to lost people in the right spirit. We'll not approach them with a spirit of judgment or reproach or condemnation. We'll be able to come with them with compassion and restoration in mind. I mean, that's the way it should be done. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by sin, you who are spiritual should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Now, there is a key phrase in that passage of Scripture. You who are spiritual. You who are spiritual. When we're spiritual, we'll be able to judge properly. We'll be able to love properly. We'll be able to see properly. We'll have the right kind of compassion. See, there ought to be a desire in each one of us to help brothers and sisters when they stumble and fall. Not stand over in a corner and point at them. I mean, that's not what Jesus wants. When we walk in love with one another, we'll be in the business of building up and not tearing down. Now, don't get me wrong here. It's not wrong to confront a person with his sin. We need to do that. In fact, it's wrong if we don't do that. Jesus said in Luke 17, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If you love your brother, you'll confront him when he is wrong. If you hate him, you won't. Ooh. You know, sometimes we can pass it off as things like, well, that's what the Apostle Paul said, or that's what John said. No, that's what Jesus said. That's what God in the flesh said. You see, refusing to confront a person about his sin is just as wrong as a doctor refusing to confront a patient about his sickness. Don't do that. And if you really want to understand what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 1, that judge not, then you're right out beside it, John 7:24. Right out beside there, John 7:24. Jesus said this, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Judge correctly. See, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a book by its content, right? What's in there. So the key is not to judge by appearance. I wonder, have we been guilty of judging people who don't look like us, who don't dress like us, who don't talk like us? Folks, if Jesus and the disciples walked in here right now, none of them would look like us. None of them were dressed like us. None of them would talk like us. Does that make them right and us wrong? I don't think so. You see, the Lord made it very clear. Don't criticize because you don't know all the facts. Don't criticize because we all fail the Lord. We're not to judge or criticize because we don't know the content of people's hearts. And when we do, we're attempting to assume the authority of God. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, not by its lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me gasp. Thieves, liars, sinners, and all that trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never did anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How do all these sinners get up here? I know God made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet and so somber? Can you give me a clue? Jesus said, child, they're all in shock. They weren't expecting to see you. Jesus said, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. The critical spirit has a way of boomerang. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. And at times it stings. At times it goes into our hearts and causes us to pause and ponder what you have said. But Lord, you want for us what is pleasing in your sight. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us would come before you today with a heart of searching, looking for the answers. Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister in a very special way this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Nearer.